throughout the years, we have developed many Christmas traditions. Some are very nice. Some of the lighting of the Advent candles. Giving gifts is a good tradition. Yet some are not exactly truly biblical. For example, this song that we sang sometimes, "We three kings of Orient are." So if you look at today's text, if you compare today's text, first of all, the Magi are not kings. And if you really look at the text, the Bible did not really say three person came. The Bible did not say how many Magi came. And also in many Christmas pageant, usually, you know, we have Mary, Joseph coming to Bethlehem, and then give birth, baby lying in the manger, and then you see all the shepherds and the sheep come, and then followed by finally the three Magi. When you really again looking at the text today, the Magi did not come, most probably did not come on the same night as the shepherds. Because on the passage, it seems that already the child was born for a few months, you know, because they are living in the house, not in a stable. And the Bible refers Jesus as the child, not a baby anymore. So this chapter 2 in Matthew is probably after Jesus born for a few months now. Less than 2 years, but a few months. So, who are these Magi? Who are they? Well, the name Magi means originally is magicians. But of course not the type of magicians that we are thinking of now in the entertainment business. They are probably astrologers. They who study the stars, they are probably educated people. Hence, some people call them, the traditions, they are wise men. So these Magi, or the wise men, they study the stars and can they interpret certain stars to be the birth of a great Jewish king? How do they know that? Well, the Bible did not say for sure, but a Bible scholar in the past have done researches. Because there are many Old Testament prophecies was circulating in parts of Palestine and also in the east, like Babylonia and Persia, while the Jews, remember, the Israelites were exiled. So these prophecies would probably have circulated to many parts of the world. For example, an Old Testament prophecy talk about a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Egypt, Israel. And also, don't forget, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, were exiled to Babylon, and eventually he became the chief magicians of the Babylonian Empire, and later on become the chief administrators in Persia. So it would be reasonable to think that Daniel have passed on to this prophecy or to expect a great king, the Messiah, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to appear one day. So all this is pointing out that it is reasonable that there are these wise men, these magi, have observed the stars and concluded that a great king, a really great king, have been born, and they came, traveled long distance to see them, see the king, and to worship him. So I would conclude these magi, I would prefer to call them wise men, because they are wise in that respect. And today, we want to learn from these wise men. I just summarize 3 points that we will learn from these wise men. First of all, I suggest that we wise men worship God in all circumstances. Okay. Wise men worship God in all circumstances. Just imagine these wise men. You know, they left their comfortable home in Persia and traveled long distance of land. You know, they are traveling not by SUV or a motorcycle or anything, a minivan. They travel just by walking or probably by with camels. The distance would be about 1,000 miles, and that journey will be over 3 months at least. So they are travel long distance in those times with very difficult conditions. There would not be like luxury hotels to accommodate every night. Would not be like traveling on cruise ship. So they make a very long, treacherous journey to come in search of the King of the Jews. So they have conviction to see a great king. So when they arrive, so in Palestine, if you were the wise men, where would you look for a king? Well, you probably go to the capital, the chief city in Palestine, which is Jerusalem, and go to palace to look for a king, right? That is why this passage, it says King Herod met them. He probably knocking on the door of the palace and asking, where's the king? And then King Herod, in consultation with his advisors, say that, go to Bethlehem. Please go to Bethlehem. You know, King Herod is a guy who is very calculated, you know. When someone come to look for King of the Jews, he is King of the Jews, but he didn't say anything. But he says, because the Jewish tradition is expecting the Messiah, who is the King of the Jews. But he didn't say anything. He just said, you know, the prophecy says the king will be born in Bethlehem. So on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. So just imagine you travel after 3 months, long distance, difficult journeys, expect to see a king, and you end up seeing a poor teenage girl in a very lowly dwelling, maybe a broken shed. What will you do? That's the king? Yet, the Bible said, they coming to the house, The child was with his mother. Joseph was not even there. Maybe Joseph, the carpenter, had to go for work to support the family. You come in great expectation, and you see a very broken squatter. People just, this is the king. But nevertheless, they bow down and worship him. They don't worship Mary, they worship the child. This vulnerable, helpless child. So I think it is something that we need to learn. Wise men worship God in all circumstances. Because it is easy to worship God when you are prosperous. But it takes strong faith to praise God in prosperity and difficult times. In the Bible, there's another man who worshiped God, even he is in very difficult time. This guy is called Job. Job always worshiped God when he was prosperous, when he had many children. Yet one day, everything got lost. He lost his children. He lost all his possessions. One day, everything got lost. Yet, in the verse 20, verse 19, Job, then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Can you do that if you lose everything and you still continue to worship God? For some of us, maybe you have been following a star like the wise men. But how do you react when you follow a star and end up in a broken shed? Some of us have high hope when you finish university. Yeah, after university, it's not, you realize that it's just not as great as you are, you thought to be. You know, you would think that you have a big corner office in a high rise office tower, you know, six digit figures income, and you end up just doing very menial job. What do you do when you follow the star and end up in a stable? Do you still thank God? Some of you are immigrants. You come to this place called Canada. Beautiful. You thought that this is a paradise on earth. And yet, you come here. You become underemployed. The skills you have back home do not really apply. People ask you for Canadian experience. Do not accept your qualification back home. What do you do when you follow the star and end up coming to a broken shed? Some of you have high hope in relationship. After I get married, it turned out that it's not, they will live happily ever after. The relationship turned out to be very painful. Do you still worship God? You end up with broken heart. What do you do? Romans 8, Apostle Paul said, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ?" And then eventually he says, "Is it shall not trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. And then in the conclusion, he said, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Apostle Paul said, the love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God is not just a promise. Oh, I love you, you know, I promise. The love of God, the Apostle Paul talked about, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God demonstrates his love to us in Christ Jesus, demonstrated on the cross. If you feel deserted, if you feel God is far away, if you feel that God does not love you anymore, just look at the cross. The Apostle Paul said, that love on the cross in Christ Jesus will never be departed from you. So, well, that's the wise man give us a good example. The wise man worship God in faith in all circumstances. And I think so should we in all circumstances. Second, I find that from this passage, wise men offer God the best. Wise men offer God the best. You see, the wise men did not say, oh, wow, I come here after all this journey and look at this, you know. It's just a lowly residence. Maybe I should hold back of the treasure, the expensive gift that I have brought so far. They didn't. The scripture says they did not hold back. They offer, they open up their treasures and then present Jesus with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. All these are very expensive, precious commodities, the best they can find in that time. So the wise men offer God the best. And it turned out that in God's provision, these gifts were used by God to provide for Joseph and Mary when they are in exile to Egypt. Just imagine that angel sent, you have to leave now, you know, with nothing, but they at least have gold, incense, and myrrh, which they can sell and to sustain the living in Egypt. So this is God used our gift. God used what we offer to him for his own purpose. So don't underestimate what you offer to God. But the question is, when we offer to God, do we offer our best? Do we offer our best? And do not think that what you offer to God has no consequence. God will use what you offer to him. The better he will use for his purpose. Just like a child in Jesus' time offered Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all he has. But remember what God did with this offer. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Just a child's meal. Yet God used it to feed 5,000 people. So let's think about what we offer to God. If you are in the worship team or the supporting team, I ask for people to arrive at 9 a.m. so that they can practice together, set up, helping, testing the sound and everything. Arrived before 9 a.m. 9:30, worship start. Yet a lot of people show up, you know, 9:35, 9:40, you know. Many of them do not dare to show up late for work. Yet, to come to worship, some of us do not really care about punctuality. When you are in Sunday school, you prepare your lessons days in advance. Take seriously of what, because you God entrusted you to teach the children. So be prepared, and don't just prepare on the same day as you arrive. Wise men offer God the best show should be. Hudson Taylor, after his first missionary tour in China, he saw the tremendous needs there, especially people living in inland China have never heard of the gospel. At that time, there are missionaries working in the coastal area of China. But nobody worked ever in inland in the China. So in 1865, he went back to England to try to recruit more missionaries. And in 1865, he established China Inland Mission. And he opened a bank account with all he had in that possession, £50. That's his, all he had. He put in a bank account. All his possession is £50. And today, thousands of missionaries came from China Inland Mission, and later on become Overseas Missionary Fellowship, OMF. And millions of people, even today, China, Chinese Christians still benefit from the impact of Hudson Taylor. So don't underestimate what you offer to God. God will use it. The more, the better. Offer the best. God use it for His glory. Thirdly, wise men follows God's direction. After the Magi, found Jesus, the angels appeared to them and not to go back to Herod. And they returned to their country by another route. You see, King Herod was a cruel and ruthless ruler. King Herod the Great in the Bible are famous for two things. You know what they are? First of all, King Herod was a very great architect. If you travel in Palestine, in the Holy Land, you see the projects that King Herod left behind. The Holy Temple was one, but the Holy Temple was destroyed. But there are still the Summer Palace and also a castle. It's called Masada. It still remains, the ruins. You can imagine King Herod was a very great architect. Another thing great King Herod is famous for is for his cruelty and his jealousy. He is very suspicious of people who's come to try to take away his kingdom. You know, historians said he have 10 wives and many sons, many children. And he whenever he suspects any sons who try to take his kingdom away, he killed them. Just to, you know. That's why there was actually a joke in that time recorded in the history book. It says, it is better to be King Herod's pigs than his sons. Because whenever he suspects someone tried to take away, challenge his power, he killed them, you know. So, wise men follow God's direction. It all comes down to God is protecting. God, it is, everything is under God's control. Just imagine Jesus is so vulnerable in that place. You know, Jesus with his parents, Joseph and Mary, just powerless peasants, live and try to survive in King Herod's jealousy and Roman Empire. Yet God protect them. God protect them. And angels direct the wise men to go to another route, and they follow. So we can, from this, we learn that we can trust in God's direction. God sometimes shows us direction through dreams. Sometimes God shows us his direction through a scripture verse we read in a day. Yet more often, God already shows us his direction to us through the scripture teaching. For example, the Great Commission. You don't need God's direction to tell you that, to share the gospel. God already told you. God already told you how to live a full life, a great life, to follow his will, to share the gospel. So we, all we have to do is follow his direction, obey his command, trust and obey. There's no other way. So the wise men follow God's direction. Compare to King Herod and his religious leaders. They knew of God's plan. You see, King Herod knew that God is sending a Messiah. The religious leader all knew that there's a Messiah. The Christ is coming. He's born in Bethlehem. But instead of searching for him and worshiping him, they rejected him. It's not like the wise men. So, you see, some of us know God's direction, but do not follow it. Just like King Herod and the religious leader. How about you? You cannot say that you don't have God's direction. God already instructed you. And through the eyes of faith, we can see God's activity on earth even today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to follow the examples of the wise men, so that we truly live our life wisely. Let us offer you our best to be used by you, because we know that you are worthy of our trust and our worship. And in trusting and obeying you, we will live a full life indeed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.